Welcome to lesson 194 in our glorification section of book four, which is God's will for my life and why I'm here to fulfill his purpose. Here we're looking at the third attribute of God, his character, who he is, his forgiveness. We talked about agape love, who God is. We talked about his mercy and kindness to people. Now we're looking at a reflection of who he is in this world, in the way he forgives, because his forgiveness is not like ours at all. So we're going to be looking at this in depth. Let's take a look at our theme verse on this page, which is on this lesson, which is 1 John 2:12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. We're going to be looking at forgiveness as having four different unique words in the Greek and Hebrew, so we can get a full picture of what this idea of forgiveness means. This word, aphimiai, means to send away, cancel, or remove. So re-say 1 John 2:12 this way. I write to you, little children, because your sins are sent away, canceled, and removed from you for his sake. Let's take a look at this word in a little more detail. Click on the screen. We see it in the Old Testament and then reflected in the New Testament. So let's go to the Old Testament and look at some verses that reflect this idea of sending away, canceling, or removing sin. The first element of this is God releases you from and completely cancels the punishment you're due for your sin. That's what this word means. A second element is God actually removes the cause of the offense. He'll never bring it up to you again. He doesn't just remove it and cancel it and release you from the penalty. He'll never bring it up again. That's what that word means. Let's look at Psalm 103, verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. There's that word. Isaiah chapter 1. Verses 18 and 19 literally says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are like red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. What's happening here literally is God is saying, he's the one who will make your sins as white as snow, and they'll be like wool. He cancels, removes, and it's never brought up again. Let's look at Isaiah 43, verse 25. That verse says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my sake. I will not remember your sins. All right, Isaiah is written at about 730 BC. Psalms are written at about 1000 BC. We have a consistent theme throughout the Old Testament of God deciding to release you from the punishment and cancel that punishment for the things you've done. And not only that, he'll never bring it up again because he loves you. He's doing this, blotting out your sins for his holy name's sake, for him as a good father, and he won't remember. It's interesting. Notice it says, and I won't ever bring them back up to you. Well, he doesn't forget sin. He's God. He has perfect knowledge. He chooses to never remember them. He'll never bring them back up. That's Isaiah 43, 25. What about Isaiah 44, verse 22? Let's look at that one. That one says, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. He's calling you to repentance. Remember when we looked in Romans, the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Well, here it is. God's goodness is that he is so forgiving, he'll never bring it up to you again, and he blots it out completely so that there's never going to be a time he remembers it. This is incredible. As we go to the New Testament and we see the same thing, let's go to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 9, we'll start in verse 2. It says, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." This is that word, aphemiai. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you'?" Let's translate that. "Your sins are released from you and the punishment is completely canceled and I'll never bring up that cause of offense again." Or to say, "Arise and walk." "But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to cancel all your sins and never bring them up again and release you from its punishment." He said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed and go to your house." He arose and departed to his house. Now the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God. Okay, back to glorification, who had given such power to men. Remember, we said God is glorified in three ways: his creation, his son Jesus Christ, and us as his children. Here in Matthew 9, God's getting the glory for him as a forgiving father, one of his attributes, through his son. It's beautiful. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 8, verse 22. "Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be aphemiai, forgiven you, may be canceled out, and you may be released from the punishment so he doesn't bring it up anymore." Same word. Now, how about 1 John 1? Everybody knows this. This one, we use it all the time. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. It says, "If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us." Here's the verse. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There's that word again, forgiveness. But there's a deeper meaning going on here in verse 9. Confess here is a different Greek word. If you remember in Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, it says that people were flocking to John the Baptist in the wilderness, and it says they were confessing their sins to him. Well, that word is exologio in Matthew 3, 6. And what it means is to agree with John that you've done something wrong, that you've sinned. Well, this word here in 1 John 1, 9 is homologio. That literally means to agree with God. There are a lot of non-believers who agree they sin, but they don't agree with God that their sin separates them from him. They don't buy into that. Well, this is saying when you confess, homologio, that you agree with God that you've offended him. As a Christian, this is 1 John 1, 9, he aphemiais your sin. He says he sends it away, cancels it, removes it. You're released from any punishment for it, and he'll never bring it up again. Guys, I can't think of anything better than that. Finally, in 1 John 2:12, it says, "I write to you, little children," this is the theme verse at the bottom, "because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." That's that first word, to cancel or send away. Now, how about the second one? Charizomai, to bestow unconditional favor. This is what this one means, is the one who has caused the offense or the crime is under no obligation to pay back the debt owed for the offense. I mean, you got to think about this. This is not our criminal justice system. When you commit a crime, you are under obligation to pay it back, to pay for it. That's what our courts of law are for. Here, God is saying he's bestowing unconditional favor on you as the one who's offended him. And by him doing that, by him taking action, you're under no obligation to ever pay it back. You don't have to pay it back. This is the story of the woman caught in adultery. Let's take a look in John chapter 8, in verse 3. The scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned to death. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. In other words, he's caught in the middle. Does he agree so that the law is fulfilled and she's stoned right then and there? Or does he say no and show mercy on her so that now he breaks the law? They said to test him, they may have something in which to accuse him. But what did he do? He stoops down, he writes on the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear them. So in verse 7, they continued asking him. He raises himself up and he says to them, he who is without sin, let him throw a stone at her first. Then he stoops back down and writes on the ground. And guess what happens? It's kind of neat. It says those who heard it being convicted by their conscience because they all know they're sinners. They go out one by one, dropping the stones and leaving. And it's interesting. They say, with the oldest, even to the last. In other words, it's the oldest who drop the stones first and walk away. I have a famous motto I tell people all the time. Young people want justice. Old people want mercy. That's because as you get older in life, you've done more things wrong. You feel guilty and you know it. And the first ones in this story who drop the stone and realize how convicted they are for who they really are the older people. And now it says he's left alone with the woman standing in the midst. So it's just the two of them. He raises himself up, sees no one else is there but the woman. And he says, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She says, no one, Lord. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. This is the charizome of God. He puts favor on her and she is not obligated to pay anything back for it. This is incredible. Luke chapter 7, if you look there and you go to verse 39 and through 47, here what we have is this idea of a sinful woman being forgiven. Verse 39, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. A sinner came into his house, into the house of the Pharisee, Joseph, and went ahead and started anointing him with oil and literally wiping his feet with her hair and kissing his feet. And the Pharisees are so offended because she's such a sinner, known for that, that they look at him and said, if you only knew who this really was, you would never let her do this. But in verse 40, Jesus says, Simon, I have something to say to you. This is Simon, one of the Pharisees. He says, teacher, say it. There's a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they had nothing which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Which of them do you think loves him more? Simon said, I suppose the one he forgave more. In other words, the one who owed 500 denarii. Jesus said, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair on her head. You gave me no kiss and greeting, but this woman hasn't stopped kissing my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil. This woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are charizome, are forgiven, bestowing unconditional favor on her because of how much she loved. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Amazing story. Let's look again at Colossians 2, verses 13 to 14. When we look here, we see Paul saying in verse 13, you being dead in your trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped away the handwriting of requirements that's against us, that's contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. This is bestowing unconditional favor on people who trust in him by nailing your sins to the cross because he loves you. And then finally, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. Charizoma, he bestowed unconditional favor. There's a great video attached to the bottom of this from Michael W. Smith. He gives testimony in I Am Second. Gives you a beautiful picture of this whole idea of God bestowing his unconditional love on you by forgiving you, sending away or canceling, removing, and unconditional favor. This is lesson 194.